fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier. So great to have you with us today. We made it. Are we still here? I think we're still here. I'm pretty sure. Although maybe this is an illusion. I don't know. We'll have to see. But I'm pretty sure that we survived the solar eclipse today. The end of the world did not happen. We didn't see the New World Order take hold, although they've been trying that for years, so we'll just have to keep that fight up and going from allowing them to take hold. But we're still here, as far as I'm aware, unless this is all an illusion, your imagination. We'll cover some of that here in just a minute. Welcome into it. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen. So great to have you. You're a millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day.
Do it live!
And we got a lot to talk about for sure. I watched the eclipse, so we're based out of Wichita, Kansas, obviously, and I went out right at the time. So I was in, for those that didn't know, I got the honor to fill in for the Todd Starnes radio program earlier today. Yeah, I'm on hour number 5, I think, of talk radio. So if my voice starts slipping a little bit, totally cool. I'm excited about it, but what a day it's been. But I stepped outside right at it. It was supposed to happen at 1:48 Central Time when the peak of it was supposed to happen here in the Kansas area. So I told the producers for the Todd Starnes program, I said, if I don't return for the last segment of the show, the last 12 minutes of the program, you'll know why. So we took the radio break right at like 2 minutes beforehand, like 1:46. Yeah, radio professional here, just throwing that out there. And we went outside, and I got to admit, it got a little dark, but didn't do a whole lot. It really wasn't that dark here. Now, it was at 87% coverage here in the Wichita area. I know that some areas, I know it happened a little bit more further south where everybody had booked up hotels. Everybody was freaking out. They apparently declared like states of emergency to make sure there were enough resources. They canceled schools. Like it was a heyday in other places here. It got a little dark, kind of like a cloud coverage kind of thing for a bit. The coolest part, though, is watching the shadows of the trees and stuff because you can tell if things are just a little bit different. You could feel it. You could feel the difference just a little bit, but it was kind of neat. Absolutely love it. I've said it many times before, but I enjoy this stuff. If I weren't in politics and on radio, I totally had plans to work for NASA and become a scientist and be an astronomer. So that would have been my backup, you know, but arguing with politics slightly easier than talking about physics my entire life. So I went with the easy route and end up just wanting to argue with people on the radio, apparently. Coming up on the show, we got a lot to get to. Jason Jones, he'll be joining us on bottom of the hour. He is the author of the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, as we talk about what's going out of Ukraine. The announcement that happened end of last week, according to Anthony Blinken, that said that apparently NATO will be accepting Ukraine into the organization. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but Ukraine and Anthony Blinken trying to hype themselves up a little bit about joining NATO. What does that mean for the ongoing conflict with Russia? But we'll get to all that here in a little bit. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to our guest.
What's trending today?
Because as we talk about the eclipse, what is the significance of the eclipse? Is there any biblical meaning for this? A lot of people, I've heard tons of conspiracy theories about how it was supposed to bring in the 3 days of darkness. It was supposed to be the returning of Christ. It was supposed to be the end of times, which obviously didn't happen. Now, are there biblical signs? I believe that there are. I think that's really cool. And it does make us think a little bit deeper on that religious or spiritual level of what else is out there and how small we are compared to the universe. But it's definitely a neat conversation to talk about some of that and so much more. Really happy to have on the program, author of the book Revelation 9:1-1, how the book of Revelation intersects with today's headlines. Excited to have on here Pastor Paul Begley. Paul, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Great to be on today.
Yeah. Excited. Happy Solar Eclipse Day. We're apparently still here, so the end isn't here yet.
The end has not come. I was actually speaking at a conference this weekend in Dallas, Texas, so I stayed over, and I just watched the eclipse. It did turn dark in Dallas, I can tell you that.
Okay.
And actually, the airport not far from where I'm staying, and planes were landing all day, but when the eclipse came, the totality, the planes were coming in with all their lights on. They had to turn the runway lights on. So it's an, that's pretty wild. It was a great experience, really.
Yeah, it is a great experience. I remember the one in 2017. We got darker here in the Wichita area, and it did. It looked like it was dark for just for those brief couple of moments. It is fascinating because not only is it just a cool thing to watch and experience, but just the presence, the power of it, and the recognition that there is so much more out there that really makes you question a lot of things, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I mean, you know, look, it's so perfect. The 400 million miles difference, and then the 400 size difference, making a perfect eclipse. Yeah. Incredible. Sophie, if you're a believer in the Big Bang, you know, I always say this, who pulled the trigger?
Yeah.
Man, this thing is beautiful, okay? It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right. I mean, you couldn't make the stuff up unless there was some type of designer to, like you said, the perfect synchronicity of the sizes to be able to do a blackout like that is, it's a purpose. And if you, whatever your religious, philosophical, spiritual beliefs may be, if you believe in something like the Big Bang and use it in that interpretation, like you said, someone had to have hit the trigger button and actually make that happen because it's really neat. There was a lot, however, of the quote-unquote end-of-day prophecies and the end of the world and the 3 days of darkness, which I'm a logical kind of guy. Like I said, I'm into science, I'm into mathematics, I'm into physics, I'm into this stuff. I don't know how 3 days of darkness could happen unless we just stopped moving right at that exact moment, and that only compares to, like, who's actually looking at it at what time and what place. So that doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense to me, but there was a lot of biblical prophecy of end of times with this thing. Why do you think that happens?
Yeah, you know, every time there's an event like this, there's always these folks who do that, and they create a lot of unnecessary chaos.
Yeah.
Now, solar eclipses are in the Bible, okay? And it's mentioned numerous times in the Bible. Book of Amos says, God said, I'll turn the daylight to dark at noon, you know? And we know in the book of St. Luke's Gospel, it tells us there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Yeah.
The stress of nations, you know. So whenever there's an eclipse going on, for instance, when Jonah went into Nineveh, the day he entered Nineveh, there was a solar eclipse. That was on June 15th, 763 B.C. So he went in preaching repentance. And so Jesus makes reference to this and says to the Jewish leaders, he says, look, you want a sign? I'll tell you one. The sign of the prophet Jonah. And except you repent, you know, you will perish. And so that only sign he gave was a solar eclipse. But we know there's blood moons. There's been all kinds of different beautiful, wonderful, science-perfect creation, a grand designer of all things to make these signs. And he did say that these signs would be used for signs and seasons and days and years. So we do have some, and in my book, Revelation 9-11, we actually talk about not only this great North American eclipse, but we talk about the aftermath of it. What signs is it prophetically? Which, and when I wrote the book, it was that there'd be war, and we have two of them going on. So it's quite extraordinary. And just so you know, you have 5 years and 5 days, and Apophis will be here. Mm. And that's the game changer. That's an asteroid twice as big as that boat that hit the Key Bridge in Baltimore. And that thing hit that bridge at 9 miles an hour and took it down. This asteroid is twice that size, coming 40,000 miles an hour straight toward the Earth. And scientists believe it will come within 18,000 miles of the Earth. That's if their calculation is perfect.
Yeah.
There's a lot on this one. And even if Apophis doesn't hit it, it's so close and so big, it's got to be bringing with it debris. And I believe that will be a revelation moment where we probably have a couple impacts from the companion rock.
Yeah, and I've heard that if the calculation is right, and because it's becoming so close and it's fact going between the Earth and the Moon with how close this one's going, that if it gets thrown off of its, by gravitational pull, if it gets thrown off its axis at all based on its momentum right now, the next time around it comes, then it could have a direct impact on us because of what could happen based on getting so close and being thrown off course, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. And so the year 2036, that's 7 years later to the day, which isn't remarkable. And that's a Friday the 13th, by the way. Friday 13th, 2029. And then if it don't hit us, and if none of the companion rocks don't hit us, and then and I think they still might, it doesn't matter. That big rock comes back 7 years later, and all bets are off. And NASA will tell you that, and all the mathematicians. So God did give us, in the Bible, indications of deep impact. He told us it will happen. And he told us what events to be going on around the time that we have these deep impacts, which includes the nation of Israel and the sacrifice of the red heifers, the burning of the ashes, which is why there's a war going on right now, Hamas attacking Israel over the fact that they're absolutely paranoid that Israel is going to do this sacrifice, which means it clears all the obstacles out of the way religiously for Israel to build the third temple. And so there's a ton of negotiation right now going on, and it's perfect timing with these signs in the heavens.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating for sure. Now, Paul, where's the line drawn, I guess? Or because you're right. I mean, there is a lot of things going on, and I completely agree that the signs that we see from the heavens, from the skies, from the stars are the signs from God, and he's been able to communicate with us many times from those. Where's the line drawn between the signs that are mentioned in the Bible like that in essentially astrology, which we're told that we're not supposed to have fun with. But when we look at some of these astrological signs that the asteroids are named after some of these quote-unquote deities or some of these names that are supposed to be bad and warnings. Or when you talk about Jonah, like you said, Nineveh, that astrologically there's also going into the constellation of the whale, which I find extremely ironic. And at the same time with these blood moons and everything, that it happens that not only are they in-person things that happen physically, but at the same time, again, you talk about the synchronicities here, that it's the same thing that's happening astrologically when it comes to constellations and names of things happening in the stars. So I find that quite fascinating.
Yes, and you're exactly right. And God even says in the book of Job, he asked Job, says, can you loose the bands of Orion?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in Orion, there is this belief, this mystical planet X, that's out there somewhere pulling on the entire universe.
Nibiru, that's right.
it's in the constellation of Orion. So when you look at all the things that are happening, God is perfect in his plan. And I think culturally, we've had over multiple civilizations who have studied the stars and the seasons and have understood that there was a divine creator. And they were trying to figure out, is there a moon god? Is there a sun god? Is there whatever god? And without knowing the whole picture, they knew something divine was going on. It's too perfect, too, as you said, too mathematically dead on.
Yeah.
So God is the grand designer, and he put these things in play. And the key he gave us on earth was, hey, I'm going to show you things in the heavens. You got to look around what's going on at the time I show you these.
And recognize
this will
it.
Help you.
I tell you what, Pastor. We got to take a hard break. We got to take a hard break. Can you stick over one more segment?
Sure, let's do it.
Awesome. I want to continue this conversation. Fascinating stuff here for a Solar Eclipse Monday. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed, it is 24 minutes past the hour. Radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting, your political therapist, therapying you on a daily basis. Fascinating conversation. Now, this goes without saying, but I have to say it just because people get all upset sometimes and people get worked up based on their own personal beliefs. You don't have to believe any of this. You don't have to believe anything that we're talking about. This is for pure entertainment on what I find fascinating. And I have my faith, obviously, and I love watching the signs and the synchronicities. I am not one of the doomsdayers, like all the freaked out and scared and get right. I mean, I'm happy. I'm ready. Let's just do this thing. We're going to live our life, do our thing. Whenever it happens, it's going to happen, and we're just prepared. But it's fascinating to be able to see the signs, see the synchronicities, And I think that's one of the things that some people may have taken it and seen today with these solar eclipse right now, as we're hanging out with Pastor Paul Begley. A couple minutes left here. Author of the book, Revelation 9-11, how the book of Revelation intersects with today's headlines. You can find more information as well online at paulbegleyprophecy.com. Pastor, let's talk about, again, just if people see this stuff, do you think it intrigues people to just want to look at themselves a little bit deeper and a little bit more and just ponder what the heck is else out there? And if that makes them think a little bit more so than just themselves and what the world's revolving around right now.
Yeah, it really does. It lets you know that there's something bigger than ourselves, every one of us. When the whole world has to stop, here in America, literally pause for 4.5 minutes and stare into the heavens and contemplate the creation, how big it is, how big this universe and the universe, and we're just this one rock, you know, third one from the sun, with all these other stars and the majestic creation. And so, you know, what I do is I tell people, all right, take a look at this. Observe the glory of it. And yeah, reflect on it yourself. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with mankind? Are you at peace with God? And so use this moment as a, don't miss this moment, is what I've been telling folks.
I like that. I do like that. We got a couple minutes left here, but I have to ask you the big question. Because things are starting to happen and because we see all these signs coming from the sky, when in the world are we going to make our contact with ETs? Because I'm getting a little impatient.
Good question. We cover that in this book.
I love it. I love it.
I mean, yeah, because, well, look, biblically we have to talk about the Nephilim in the days of, you know, before the flood and after. These giants, which were obviously on the earth. The watchers. And then when you talk about Nephilim and you talk about fallen angels, that moves you into the UFOs, because there's no doubt about it. Thousands of people have had encounters with something. I mean, people have felt that they were abducted. People have been violated. People have seen all types of different crafts and even large entities. So to sit here as a pastor and deny that, just say, well, all those folks are off track, I'd be insane, and it wouldn't be sensitive to them either.
Yeah.
Yes, people are having already encounters. The question is, what are these? Are these real aliens, extraterrestrials from other galaxies, or are we dealing with the same entities that we dealt with from the creation, the fallen ones? Who Lucifer cast out of heaven.
Now, do you think that there's good and bad ones? Here's my personal belief, and I know it's really short, but I think there's good and bad ones, whether the fallen ones or the angelic beings. When you look at, like, the book of Ezekiel, and someone thought that it was God coming down, you know, it talked about a chariot on fire that looked like it as well. And it almost seems like there's the good and bad ones that either are trying to harm us or to help us on both degrees, isn't there? In about 20 seconds. I hate to cut it off short.
Absolutely. I mean, look, there's no question. Then think about that. If I would have saw the chariots of fire, I would have said that was a spaceship coming down to get a sequel. But yes, we're having angelic encounters all the time, as well as demonic encounters. What we have to do as individuals is discern what we're dealing with. And remember, the fallen ones or the deceptive, they're very deceptive. Yeah. So this is why you got to get... we talk about all of this in the book.
We want, as well as
the cancel culture.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to get you back on the show again soon, because I find these conversations quite fascinating and we're going to have some fun with it. Go check it out. It is Revelation 9-1-1, paulbegleyprophecy.com. Paul, we appreciate the time very much, my friend. Got to take a break. Right back here on The Voice of Reason.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Welcome back into it on the home front here, moving right along for a Monday, a home stretch of the program for a solar eclipse Monday. We're still here. We all didn't die. It's all okay. We're still surviving. In fact, we have a lot of things that are going on throughout this week. Today, for those that are into basketball, there's still the men's basketball tournament that's going on, the championship for the Division I, March Madness stuff. My bracket got busted a long time ago. I had one team in the Final Four. Not that I pay attention to basketball. I don't care about basketball. But at the same time, working at a radio station that has a sports station with me, I hear about it all the time. So, of course, I had to fill out a bracket. And I was third in the company up until the Final Four, and then it kind of fell apart. But nonetheless, I'll take pride on that. Speaking of, by the way, I know this happened, end of last week, but did you hear our very own Vice President of the United States and how great she talked about on what the Biden administration's done during their tenure over the past 3 years?
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson, do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022.
Oh, didn't know that.
Think about that. And what that, talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress. And what that has done, because of course when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be. Mm. But when you see it, you realize, Oh,
there it is. Women, apparently they haven't had brackets until just 2 years ago.
Compensate your black fluid and get your brake working so you can stop something.
Oh, that's what's leading the country right now. What a world we live in, my friends. Let's get into what's trending.
What's trending today?
I blame the solar eclipse. That's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to that one. I blame the solar eclipse. Let's shift gears a little bit. Other big news that happened at the end of last week over the weekend. The Biden administration, Anthony Blinken, our Secretary of State, that doesn't have a whole lot of Secretary of State qualities, but he's still there, I guess, made the announcement with Ukraine saying that Ukraine would be joining NATO. Is that true? And what would that entail for that to actually happen? And if it does happen, then what kind of conflict would that create moving forward with Russia, as Russia said that they do not want NATO at their doorstep on either side of them? So where are we going with some of this, and what's our position here in the United States? Now that Congress is back in action this week, their project numero uno priority is the fact that they want to do Ukrainian funding again. And obviously Republicans not all on board with that quite yet. We still haven't addressed immigration problems, but what's our role and what does this look like moving forward? To talk about some of that and more, really happy to have this guy back on the show. He is author of the upcoming new book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. Happy to have on here Mr. Jason Jones. Jason, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Well, you know, I survived the eclipse. I live in New Braunfels, Texas, in German Hill Country. Mm. The eclipse went right over me. My children were listening to too many conspiracy theories, and they thought for sure we were goners. But I can say we're still here.
We're still here. I enjoyed listening to some of those conspiracies. We just had a great guest on for the last half hour talking about some of the biblical meanings of that, which is fascinating. Again, people can believe it, not believe it, use it as entertainment. But the conspiracies I heard this year about this solar eclipse, I have never seen so much paranoia and hype about something before in my life. It was pretty intense.
Well, you know, I have a chapter on this, not to like shamelessly promote my book, and I want to go back to something. I want to address the vice president because I work on a lot of women's issues. So it's interesting. She talked about the brackets, but I have a chapter in my book on Gnosticism and how, ooh, sort of in the West, this traditional understanding of how to share information, vet and trust information, is breaking down. And we really see a rise of Gnosticism, even on the right. You see it with things like QAnon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was sort of taken aback at how many people get swept away by enthusiasm after enthusiasm. But I want to address what the first lady said about brackets, like just in time, you know, for men to be able to participate in women's sports. But you want to talk about what the Biden administration did for women. Yeah. 50% of the women in Afghanistan are starving to death. Mm-hmm. They're all being brutalized under the Taliban regime, forced to wear hijab. That's what the Biden administration, that's what they did for women.
Yeah.
And that they just always want to, you know, they're always looking to tell us how much they love women and how much they love communities of color, when the Biden administration has been devastating to the most vulnerable communities around the world. And that's the work that I do through the Vulnerable People Project. We serve communities facing ethnic cleansing and genocide. And so the reason I wrote my book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, is because I realized that, you know, what they're talking about, the globalists are talking about doing to us here, which it sounds utterly bizarre and unbelievable. What made me realize, oh my gosh, they're quite serious, is because I see that they're doing this very thing around the world, whether it's, and you know, whether it's kiboshing a peace agreement in April after the war starts in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Whether it's kowtowing to the CCP every step of the way. The globalists really want to wipe away every vestige of private property rights, individual freedom and freedom of worship, not just here in the United States, but around the globe.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. And like you said, I mean, first off, it's just a blatant lie saying that there's not a women's bracket for basketball until 2022. That's not the case. It was actually 1982 when they initiated and actually came into the tournament. So that's just a flat out lie. But you mentioned something interesting is that while we're now changing the definition of what a woman is, because apparently they can't define what a woman is and they don't know what a woman is, we're allowing men to compete in their sports. And now they're proud of trying to hype themselves up as some type of feminist. That doesn't make any sense to me because even the feminists are upset with their movement, allowing men to come in and just dominate the industries they've worked so hard for.
Yeah, you can't keep up with them. You can't keep up with them. And now, but they just had a trans man, a woman go from woman to man to box this week for the first time to prove that women, trans women or trans men can compete against men. And she was knocked out 25 seconds into the fight. Yeah. You know, this is where we are. Someone's going to die. And whether it's going to be some poor trans man entering into competition with men, yeah, or whether it's some poor woman that has to compete with a trans woman, you know, it's a freak show. But yeah, in my book, I have the five ideologies of control that the globalists are using to bring about their great reset. One of them is transhumanism, and a part of transhumanism is transgender, to obliterate the idea of the human person, which entered the world through theologians and philosophers in the West over the past 2,000 years, yeah, trying to understand what does it mean for a creature to be made in God's image? What does it mean for God to become man? What does that say about the human person? And then what comes out of that is the blessings of liberty and freedom that we have. When our founding fathers gave us this great republic, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with inalienable rights. I would say that that's the most important statement in any of our founding documents. Abraham Lincoln called it the work of art in which the Constitution was just the frame to protect. But the founding fathers were really mistaken when they said it was self-evident. In many ways, it is obviously self-evident. But it was self-evident to the founding fathers because they were living 1,776 years after the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity. Yeah. And so we talk about the Great Reset as being political. We talk about it as being economic. But at the heart, it's anthropological, and it seeks to erase the vision of the human person that Christianity presents to the world.
Well, and that is a major concern. I know religion, spirituality has been under attack for a very long time, which is why we see less and less individuals becoming, quote unquote, religious, and we turn towards the government. And we see that instead generation after generation, that when the church attendance goes down, the belief in government solving our issues continues to be a major issue. But you mentioned something earlier that I found quite fascinating. You mentioned something about Gnosticism. And I mentioned this stat a while ago as well, that I'm 35, I'm a millennial. Millennials and Gen Zers are predominantly, with stats showing that they're less quote-unquote religious, actually identifying as part of a certain religion, but are becoming more spiritual, which I find quite fascinating. And I'm fascinated by the spiritual beliefs as well. But with a rise in Gnosticism, for those that don't know, kind of a mystic Christianity take on things, is that a good thing or a bad thing, do you think, for society?
Well, it's inevitably quite tragic and horrifying. You know, Christianity has always rejected Gnosticism. Gnosticism, you know, whether it's Ouija boards or QAnon, or the problem with Gnosticism is that when you appeal to an anonymous, ambiguous, quote unquote, authority that makes statements that cannot be refuted or proven, the only way that you can resolve disputes in a community is violence. And so Gnosticism leads to a breakdown in society. But you're right, we've seen the law. You know, I'm a Gen Xer. When I was in college, I had a rule that if a girl had the Celestine Prophecy on her bookshelf, I would not go on a second date with her. I always wanted to see the bookshelf. Or there was another book called The Four Agreements. Now, what's funny is my wife, on our first date, I said, hey, she was going to walk her dog. I walked her home. I said, can I come in? I probably seemed like a creep, but I wanted to look at her bookshelf because I really liked her. And she had this bookshelf and on it had four books, and three of the four books were like, if a girl has this book alone, no second date. And one of them was the Four Agreements. It's this bizarre book that, you know, pretends to have the wisdom of some demigod from, you know, the Aztecs, Quetzalcoatl or whatnot. But I was just recently looking at best-selling books, and I said to my wife, oh my gosh, that book, The Four Agreements, from like the mid-90s is still like number one on self-help. And that's but the real problem with Gnosticism isn't just the sort of vague appeal.
I tell you what, hold that thought. We got to take a hard break here. Hold that thought. I want to continue this when we come back, because this is fascinating. It is the Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. What's happening globally? What's happening here in the nation? What's taking us off course, and how do we get back on track? We've gone in an interesting realm for the Voice of Reason for a Monday. Stay here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. What a wild show today. Definitely a different direction than what we normally go, but I absolutely love it. I think it's kind of fascinating, especially to kick off your week and a solar eclipse day where we didn't die.
We're all going to die because of you!
That didn't happen, at least as of right now. We're hanging out right now with Jason Jones. He's a human rights activist, also author of the upcoming book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. And Jason, it sounds like they're coming after us on all these fronts. We've talked about the spiritual side of things, the political side of things, the transhuman side of things, the foreign policy side of things. I thought, man, and when we first started hearing about this term of the Great Reset, everybody's mind just went to COVID and how they're going to lock things down and use this authoritarianism to lock us down and just control us from here on out. But it goes so much deeper than that, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, it goes much deeper than that. But COVID, boy, did they seize the opportunity of COVID. But the World Health Organization now has a new proposal that would allow them to lock down the entire world for a climate and for a health and or climate catastrophe or disaster at whim. I mean, it was so much fun the first time. They thought, we should be able to do this whenever we want. And although that, you know, we can look back now and look at COVID policy led to the greatest years of famine since World War II. So in the developing parts of the world where they're always battling with food insecurity, the slowdown in food production, processing, and distribution led to the greatest years of famine since World War II. But notice how our media didn't cover that. I remember once in the midst of COVID, I was still having to travel quite a bit for work, and I was in the airport. And there were The Atlantic magazine, New Yorker magazine. There were like four magazines all in the same window of the bookstore in the airport. Each had an article on Zoom fatigue. So you and I were struggling with Zoom fatigue. The poorest communities in the world were struggling with famine and starvation. But that was something that they didn't really seem to want to talk too much about. That was the real fruit of their COVID policy. But, you know, according, it worked so well, now they want to do it again and again and again and again.
Yeah, they keep talking about disease X that could potentially come out. And now that we have the Biden administration giving power more to the World Health Organization, where if we have another global pandemic, quote unquote, that we all have unified laws this time, as opposed to each individual nation doing their own thing. And it's not because that they said, well, you know what, we're traveling too much and we're just spreading it all over the place. But it's essentially of, we don't want some nations to not follow our protocol and actually have better outcomes like we did this last time. So we want to make sure that no one comes out of this positive and that we can control all of this. It's kind of the sense that I'm getting here.
Yeah, no more Swedens, right? Like, no, yeah. No more Swedens. Yeah, we don't want any countries to be able to have. In other words, one of the principles I have in the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, to push back on the Great Reset, is subsidiarity. Subsidiarity is a foundational principle of the West. And what this is that the further an institution is from you, from me, the less influence that institution should have in our lives. So, you know, your state, your family and your friends, your neighbors, your spouse, they should have more to say about you and your life than a distant, unelected bureaucracy on the other side of the world. What authoritarians always seek to do is flip subsidiarity on its head. They want to give all the power to distant, unelected bureaucracies, and they want to obliterate any institution, free institution, between you and a distant, unelected bureaucracy that would have any influence or say-so over any matter. So what we're seeing now with the World Health Organization is they're really striving, and the Biden administration has until May to whether to sign on to this new treaty or not. But, you know, we can hope that the Biden administration is looking to November and rejects the WHO's call to basically turn every governor and every mayor, every police chief, and every sheriff into nothing more than an employee of this distant unelected bureaucracy.
Yeah, it's wild. We got about 20 seconds left here, but how do you think we're doing on the campaign against the Great Reset? Are we waking up and being aware of this, and are we starting to push back the way we need to?
You know, from truckers in Canada to the farmers in northwestern Europe to the Catholic bishops in Africa, I think that we will defeat the Great Reset, but all of us need to stand up, and it's going to be an adventure. But our children and grandchildren, their futures are on the other side of this. In either we succeed and leave them a civilization of love and a culture of life and a humane future, or a boot will be stomping on our posterity's face from now until our Lord's return.
We got to fight. We got to fight, and that's what we got to do. The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. The book comes out next week. Find it on Amazon and other places as well. Jason Jones. Jason, we appreciate it very much, my friend. Always good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon. Until then, back at it again tomorrow on The Voice of Reason.